Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning, witches. It is March 11th, 2024. It is Monday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by the Weed Witches Journal. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, immense power is acquired by assuring yourself in your secret reveries that you were born to control affairs. By Andrew Carnegie. Why this is interesting, I was listening to, I think it was the Scam Goddess podcast, and she was talking about how there was this woman, and this was during Andrew Carnegie's life, who, now here's the thing. This is a great question of like, who's the mastermind, but who's actually spreading the rumor? She went to this guy she knew and was like, oh my gosh, you can't tell anybody, but like, I am Andrew Carnegie's daughter. But like, don't tell nobody. But like, she did it knowing he would tell everybody. So he tells everybody. And then this girl, this lady, was able to like get a bunch of money from people and loans from people because they assumed she was good for it because she was supposedly Andrew Carnegie's daughter. So, like, everyone just believed that this woman was Andrew Carnegie's, daughter, and then he heard about it, and he's like, what? Because it wasn't true. So, like, she, like, scammed people out of a bunch of money. It was really great. It was really funny. Anyways, this week we are talking about another flower, and we're talking about the bleeding heart. Now, gorgeous, yes, but a baller name, yes. So, we're talking about flower lore and information just for a little while because I need a break from teas. And today we're talking about the bleeding heart. So this is from the Merriam-Webster Dictionary. The plant called the bleeding heart was first known by that name in the 17th century. Most plants bearing the name belong to the genus Dicentra, but the one most commonly called a bleeding heart has racemes of usually pink or white heart-shaped flowers that droop. In the first half of the 20th century, we saw an increase of the term bleeding heart used as a term of disparagement. One of the most prominent writers to seize onto the phrase was an American newspaper journalist named Westbrook Pegler. Pegler became a vocal critic of Franklin Roosevelt's New Deal policies, and particularly the administration's support for organized labor. And in 1938 column, he took on the subject of lynching, which he treated as an issue of light consequence, and basically considered anyone against lynching bleeding hearts, which, wow. Honestly, I think if people knew where the term came from, they maybe wouldn't use it. You know what I mean? But it like makes a lot of sense, you know?
Interesting.
I didn't know any of that, but yeah, super neat. So the bleeding heart is a plant and you would recognize it. It has heart-shaped flowers that droop. And this week we're going to talk about the lore, magic, and all of that great stuff. All right, moving on to some headlines. This comes to us from birminghammail.co.uk. That's a lot of their newspapers have mail in it. Pagan lifts the lid on ancient religion, including dancing naked and jumping the fire. So paganism is a little-known religion and possibly one of the most misunderstood. The term conjures images of witches, creepy pentacle symbols, and spells cast under the moonlight. An Arrington nail technician, however, reveals the truth is far from the Hollywood stereotype. Anthony Lloyd, 27, was born into a pagan family and practices as a Wiccan, a more organized religious group stemming from paganism. I never see news headlines actually correctly saying that, so that's really neat. Coming from a legally recognized religion in the UK, Anthony enjoys a life dedicated to nature and otherworldly spirits. He is, however, tired of people shouting devil worship every time he talks about his alternative beliefs. He also celebrates Halloween, a holiday with pagan roots, in a more spiritual way that wouldn't really scare anyone off. So what does it mean to be a member of the most ancient religion in the world? Quote, "My dad brought me up as a pagan but never pushed it on me," Anthony said. "Our family is very open. If I turned around and told my dad I wanted to be a Muslim, he wouldn't mind." Pagans are very open and understanding, but there's a lot of stigmatism because of Hollywood. If I say I'm a pagan, people say, oh, that's devil worship. Wicca is about worshiping nature and following one rule, harm none and do as you will. So a lot of Wiccans will use witchcraft for healing. The biggest misconception is the pentacle or star, and most people associate that with the devil. But we don't believe in the devil. We do believe in evil and possibly an all power of darkness, but the pentacle represents the five elements: earth, water, fire, air, and spirit. So this is really cool. I like to see that more newspapers kind of interviewing witches and pagans, like in an attempt to better understand. I think that's a great idea. All right, witches, I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent, and after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Monday, March 11th. The waxing crescent moon goes full speed ahead in Aries today. Here, the moon conjuncts Mercury. The good news is that it'll be much easier today to say how we feel. The bad news is that with moon and Mercury in Aries, we may not be very sensitive in how we say it. With the ruler of the moon and Mercury currently in the sign of Aquarius, feelings aren't our chief concern. Facts, logic, and rationale rule the day. So, if something is going wrong or hits us in the wrong moment, we may be a little more reactive than normal. The best advice for today is to take a moment before you say what you're going to say. Make sure it is as helpful as it is honest, and take some time to make sure it's landing well. Your daily moon mantra is, respect for ourselves guides our morals. Respect for others guides our manners. This has been your daily moon mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Interested in taking your weed witchery to the next level or wanting to get started? The Weed Witches Journal by author Carrie Connor blends the worlds of cannabis and magic together to help you document, explore, and expand your daily practices. Dig deeper into yourself with intuitive insights, mystical visions, shadow work, or connect to nature for starters. Want to explore your creativity? Dive in with My Vibe, Inspirational Ink, and the Flower Power activities. Looking to practice your skills? Get attuned with pendulum work and one card reading. Plus, document your practices with full moon, new moon, spell tracker, ritual tracker, and more. Order the Weed Witches Journal now from your favorite bookshop or wherever books are sold.
All right, we are back. So we have a question from one of our listeners, Rachel. Rachel says, what to do with a tarot deck that has two damaged cards? The other day, I was taking too long to take my dog for a walk in the morning, and he managed to grab my favorite tarot deck off the coffee table, open the pouch, and shred one card and put holes in another. I know I shouldn't have left them where he could grab them, but now I'm wondering what to do. Should I retire the entire deck? Should I switch it to using it for spell work only? I plan on buying a replacement deck, so should I only replace two cards in the old deck and use the rest of the new deck for spell work? Rachel, this is a great question. So something I will touch on is someone who has used the same decks for years, and I use them really regularly as I do readings. Cards, the more you use them, the more they change, not consistency, but they change flexibility. They become more worn. They will not stick together, but they'll become harder to separate because, again, they're getting worn. the coatings wearing off and stuff like that. So I would never really recommend merging, even if it's the same deck, merging decks of varying ages, because what's going to happen is some of the cards may have different flexibility, and you don't want some cards being stiffer and others being the opposite of stiffer. And because that could really affect shuffling, and it could affect what cards come out. I just would never recommend that. But I've been thinking the same thing. I have my deck that I've been using for years and years and years for lots of readings, and they're just really worn. And, you know, I worry about them not shuffling as well as they should. So I've been thinking the same thing. Should I get a new deck and retire these? But I get what you're saying. But I would always try to keep a whole deck together. I really, really, really wouldn't merge cards of different ages. I just think you're asking for bias in the shuffling, you know? So I would recommend just retiring the entire deck and getting a replacement, but then, like you said, using the old deck for something else. So there are some great comments about what you can use your old deck for. Jerrica said, I had the same problem. My dog got a hold of one of my cards. I replaced the card I found on eBay. My tarot deck is still very magical. At first, I thought I wouldn't like it anymore or it might lose some of its magic, but none of those things happened. If you're thinking of replacing the entire deck, I would use the old one for spell work or make crafts with them. Teresa said, I like your ideas of using it for spell work or using the cards you don't need to replace your deck. You could also put cards up in various places as reminders of energy you want to bring in. Use them in a vision board, put them in your journal, maybe as journal prompts for the art or a reminder of something attached to them that happened. Yeah, maybe you can put them in your grimoire, you know? Perhaps if you have a spread that you particularly love, you could lay them out in that spread and have them someplace to be a spell of their own. Or put them on eBay, which I think is also a good idea. Like Jerrica says, maybe someone who loses a card could be able to replace their deck really cheaply if you can put them on eBay. I also think you could make art out of them. Like Teresa said, like a spread you really, really loved, kind of make art out of it, frame it, something along those lines. I responded and I said, art or journaling. It could be cool to paste cards into your journal if you have a particularly meaningful card pull. Carrie says, I used them for spell work, journaling, and made a couple of tables with them. Katie says, I came here to say what others have already said. Lilith, I have a deck like that. It's dissembled, and I use it in various ways to represent various things in my magic. Like I have a Ten of Pentacles in my prosperity bowl. Sherry says, I love all these ideas. I ended up having two identical decks early on. I used the cards for all sorts of things, journaling, morning meditation, shadow work, put them where you want to focus certain energy, flower pots, car, desk at work, put magnetic strips on the back and use them as magnets. That's a really fun idea. Nicole, I like to use them for art or spellcraft, like using the cards as an archetype. On a recent trip, we spent some time crafting and scrapbooking. It was so much fun and magical. Yeah, I agree. So I think those are some great ideas. You know, I'm really, really digging my heels, and I really don't want to replace my deck. But, you know, I'm seeing that they're not shuffling quite as well. They don't want to separate as well because, again, they're getting older. So sometimes it's just, unfortunately, something you got to do. But it is sad. It is sad because, especially when you have had your cards for a really long time and you feel really close to them, it's kind of sad to feel like you're replacing them because you have such a connection. So we have some feedback from our planner series, and I wanted to share. This is from listener Lilith. Lilith says, one of the main things I'm dealing with this year you mentioned today, paraphrasing, you had apologized to people who only knew this person you were at the moment, not the rock or the facilitator you were normally in friend circles. The perception of who you were and the role you played in that environment had changed, and it made you uncomfortable that new people didn't know the old you. After 6 years of trauma events, I'm a very different person than I was. It really hit me when you said that because I had no idea what's lurking and if it's repressed. If it's changed, if it's gone, it's a bizarre sensation not knowing yourself. How will you react to some things and how will it change how you move forward in life? How I date, how I find my friends. It's a hard thing to put personal stuff out there, Tanya. I find your bravery and it is brave, inspiring, and impressive.
Thank you.
I do try to be really, really honest with people. I think I'm allergic to performatism. And of course, there's some of it, right? We perform a little bit when we have manners and are being polite and are trying to work. And of course. But I noticed real early on there is this untouchableness that some people want to express with their magic publicly. And I just don't believe in that. I think we're all people just trying to do our best and grasp our own spirituality and our own power and our own magic. And I think being honest about that and honest about our faults and our wins and what we're good at and what we're not good at, I think can do nothing but help others. So I appreciate that, Lilith. Thank you very, very much. All right, witches, we are wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. I want to give a shout out to listener Bonnie. Bonnie, you scholarly sweet pixie. Katie Garcia, you esoteric mongoose. Arlene Fried, you spiffy, cunning sunfish. And Ashley Hirawaka, you starry-eyed, scintillating moth. Thank you for so much for being Patreon supporters. I really appreciate it. And we do have a card pull before we leave today. And our card is Feral from the Roast Iconic Oracle. And let's see. Feral, do you need to eat something? To drink some water, perhaps? Or just take a nap? If you are hissing at the sun or other people, then you might need some time to reintegrate into the social constructs of the world. I know it doesn't make sense. I don't make the rules. P.S. It's okay to not always be polite.
Yeah.
All right, witches. Don't forget any books, decks, headline sources. Anything we reference today can be found in the podcast episode description or witchpod.com. And we'll talk again tomorrow. Bye.
Witches. We hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.